And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Good morning, Swim World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Saturday, May 20th, 2023. Happy Victoria Day, long weekend to all you Canadians out there. I hope the weather is nice and you have a patio beer for me. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the yard, back with another weekend shift. I had to jump on to talk about last night's game two of the Eastern Conference Finals. Very excited that Luna is joining me over my right shoulder, just chilling there on the bench. Before we get into it, do me a favor, hit that like button, comment away as you are in the stream team right now, and subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. And all you podcast listeners, don't be afraid to leave us a 5-star rating and review. Always helps us out in terms of ranking. So, wow, what a game! Jimmy Butler scoring 27 as the Heat beat the Celtics 111-105 to take the 2-0 lead in the Eastern Conference Finals. Where do we begin? Plenty of blame to go around for the Celtics' defeat. Joe Mazzulla made some right calls when it came to Grant Williams playing over Peyton Pritchard. Maybe made some bad calls when he went away from Time Lord and stuck with his guy Al Horford, who was looking old out there compared to Bam. Blame to your stars, for sure. Especially Tatum and Jaylen Brown. The Celtics had a 98-94 advantage with like 5 minutes to go. And you had Jaylen Brown traveling. Tatum did that twice in game one, if you remember. Then when it was tied at 100, you had Marcus Smart just straight up dropping the ball. Just, whoop, here you go. Give it to Miami. And then a few plays later, you had Tatum, charging a little out of control into Butler. There was the offensive foul. It's a bang-bang play, but he didn't seem to, like, argue it all that much because, again, he was sort of barreling in there. And then even 30 seconds left, Tatum dribbled the ball off Jimmy's foot and then also dribbled it off his foot. Like, it was ugly. And then you got to give a little blame to Grant Williams. I know some people don't want to. He played well, like I said. But he challenged Jimmy Butler, of all people, after he hit that three-pointer with like 6.5 to go. Celtics are rocking. It's 98-87. The Garden's going nuts. And Butler responds. Demands the ball. Because he's like, this guy's talking shit to me as we go back. You see the smile. Incredible slow-mo instant replay from the broadcast. Butler responds by taking Williams into the paint. Boom! Just dropped a shoulder into that big guy. Scores over him. Draws the foul. That's when we get the my buddy Grish, your buddy Grish, our buddy Grish, forehead to forehead incident between Jimmy and Grant Williams. We call it the my buddy Grish because he's done it a million times before. Usually not on a basketball court. Usually when he's a little too intoxicated. One time in Vegas comes to mind with him going forehead to forehead. Anyway, we get double techs. That's good. You know, no one's getting anything, more severe than that. And then on Miami's next possession, Jimmy scores over Grant Williams again inside. And then Butler keeps targeting Grant Williams. On the next two possessions, he drills two more tough pull-up jumpers. And suddenly Miami is up 102-100. And, you know, and then we get the end of the game where Jimmy's walking off the floor screaming, you know, they thought he was the answer. Come on. That's your answer to the Jimmy Butler problem? That's their answer? Come on. Oh, I'm watching this game with friends. A little outdoor viewing experience here in Atlanta. Gorgeous night last night. Had the projector up on the wall And we had a bunch of guys watching. Nobody in particular Heat or Celtics fans. We had like Hornets fans there. Yep, they exist. Hawks fans, of course, here in Atlanta. I mean, I'm a Raptors fan. Like, nobody really had a dog in the fight. Everybody's just hoping. Well, as soon as I say dog, Luna leaves. Nobody has a dog in the fight. Everybody's just hoping for a good game. But man, when Jimmy got poked, woke up, whatever Grant did to him, everybody suddenly was the biggest Jimmy Butler fan on the planet, and by extension, a Heat fan, just, you know, praying that he could do it again, and he obviously did. Got to give some love, though, to a bunch of other guys on the Miami Heat, and I'm going to try and get to everybody's comments here near the end of this. You know, I'm doing this solo, so I can only concentrate on so many things as I try to also produce this, but Bam Adebayo, what a game! 22, 17, and 9. And this was a game in which he started very slowly in terms of scoring. One of my questions heading into this series was, of the secondary stars, Bam and Jaylen Brown, who plays better? That could be enough to decide this. And right now, through two games, it's Bam. 1:15 left, Heat up three. Gabe Vincent misses an open three, a wide open three. Bam tips the rebound out. I think that one gets overlooked because of what happened next. After there's a weird thing with the shot clock and the officials like fixing something, Jimmy then misses a baseline jumper. He did miss. Bam manhandles Horford. I mean, he looked a decade younger than Al Horford there and just grabbed the offensive rebound, a huge board. It's either going to go to Tatum if he doesn't sky and get that with one hand. Again, he sort of threw Horford out of the way, or like Horford was stumbling as Bam went and got it. But Bam grabs it, uncontested dunk, little flex on them. That was massive. For all you sickos that love the rebounding highlights, that's going to be on the end of the year highlight reel. I thought that was huge. So Bam, great. He also had that beautiful pass with like 4 minutes to go to, I think it was Duncan Robinson, cutting back door. Ooh, from the top, from the three-point line. Your center just threading that. It's pretty cool. Like, you know, Bam does the Jokic-like things at time in terms of bringing up the ball. Obviously, he is a pretty decent playmaker at his size. You know, it's that Draymond role a little bit. And then Caleb Martin and Duncan Robinson. Caleb Martin kept him in the game. I mean, Jimmy's going to get all the headlines. You know, that's how we'll remember this game if the Heat especially go on to win the series and whatever happens in the finals. But Caleb Martin with the 25 and then Duncan Robinson with 15, 40 points right there. They shot a combined 17 to 25 from the floor, hit a bunch of triples. Just incredible. Like one guy, a D3 player, and Duncan Robinson, the other guy undrafted. Awesome. And then Gabe Vincent, you know, I said he missed that open three with like 1:15 to go, but he hit the jumper that iced it. And then he also hit some free throws. Like he comes through in the clutch. This is a game in which Kyle Lowry gives you nothing. Kevin Love gives you nothing. And it's these guys stepping up. They do not win this game without their contributions, especially Caleb Martin. And Duncan Robinson, I mean, this is wild. This guy, he's got the weirdest career going, you know, the highs and lows. But Eric Spoelstra pushing all the right buttons. I loved this line about this game from Ben Rohrbach of Yahoo Sports. Quote, "The Celtics act like they have won when the job is not done. The Heat understand if they never stop tugging, Boston will let go of the rope." Because the Celtics built double-digit leads in the second, in the third, in the fourth quarters. Every time they gave them back, and also the Heat, you know, stormed back to get them. And that's what's so far been the, you know, the story of the postseason for both these teams. The Celtics repeatedly giving away playoff games in the clutch, and the Heat repeatedly storming back to win playoff games late. Shue had the stat that the Heat are 3-2 when trailing by double digits in the fourth quarter in these playoffs. They're 3-2 when they're down 10-plus in the fourth. Everybody else, a combined 1-53. So the Heat have a winning record. It's actually in their advantage so far in the postseason to be down 10-plus in a fourth quarter. That is crazy. And if you go one step further, Shue points out that Miami is now 6-2. When it trails at all by double digits in these playoffs. Everybody else is 15 and 16. Like, a 10-point lead really is nothing. You saw it in this game. The Heat faced two double-digit deficits coming back from 12 in the second quarter, and then they had the lead at half, and then they come back again in the fourth quarter down 12. I know it's sort of nothing, but again, 15 and 60, everybody else, Heat are 6-2. They just, you can't put them away. It's scary. It's amazing what's going on right now with this team. It's feeling a little like destiny with them always coming back.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
But let's also talk about Jason Tatum, because he had another monster line. 34 points, 13 boards, 8 assists, but once again, doesn't hit a field goal in the fourth quarter. Second straight game. Bit of a disappearing act. And it just, like, the NBA is so funny. You can go for 34, 13, and 8 through three quarters. And if you can't come through in the clutch and, you know, not even score, I mean, it got to the line, got free throws and all that. But if you don't do anything late and lose, nobody cares. The opposite could be true, where you do nothing all game. I mean, Jamal Murray, great example, like struggle all game in three quarters, but you come through in the fourth, you're a hero. It's like, I know it all matters. Every basket within the 48, you add it all up, it all matters, but it really doesn't, at least to the narrative and the fans and even maybe the players out there, like, holy crap, some of these guys are just taking it to the next level when it's tight. And Jimmy's done it time and time again, and Tatum right now 0-2, at least in this series. I liked what I heard from him after the game, you know, keeping the confidence high. You know, they think they're still in this. They think they can still make this a series, win this series. I mean, you got to say all this. It's not like you're like, nah, we'll see you in Cancun in 4 days. But I don't know. Can they take 4 out of 5 from this team right now? The Heat, the way they're playing, the way Spoelstra is coaching circles around Missoula. Miami's got to, I mean, they want to put it away in 4, don't get me wrong. But like, win 1 at home? Go up 3-1, and then you're asking the Celtics to do a very, very difficult task. Because I sort of think that's what's going to happen. I don't think Boston's getting swept. I don't think so. Unless they lose game 3 and just completely wave the white flag. I guess, maybe, but I think they win one of these ones in Miami. But only one. 5 weeks ago, Miami Heat. They're 12 minutes away from being eliminated. You know, they lost to the Hawks. They are losing to the Bulls in the win and you're in scenario to get the 8th seed. They're 12 minutes away. And now they're 2 wins away from the finals. In a conference that I saw Shu point out that had the, you know, the best teams in the league for the most part in the regular season. It was always talking about Milwaukee, Boston, so the Heat could beat 2 of those, and then Philly being the other team, at least in the Eastern Conference. Whew! But I wanted to get everybody's thoughts on this tweet from one Bill Simmons. And here it is, sharing it on YouTube. Bill Simmons writing, "Hanging that loss on Grant Williams is ridiculous. The he woke Jimmy up people need to get the F out of here. Jimmy has done that all playoffs. And the Celts have blown that exact game like 15 or 16 times this season. They get outthought and out-executed in the fourth quarter by any smart team." Okay, a few thoughts on this. Yes, of course, it wasn't just Grant Williams, who did play well. Didn't he have like the Celtics' final 3 made buckets until they had to take his ass off because he was getting torched by Jimmy? I agree with Bill. It's a bunch of things. The Celtics do this, as I just went over. The Heat do this where they come back, the Celtics blow leads, they make boneheaded mistakes, that smart turnover, the travel from Jaylen Brown, all that. This is all true. The contributions from the Heat players, you know, it all adds up. But on the other hand, this tweet screams a little bit to me, you know, tell me you're not a hooper without telling me you're a hooper. Or at least recently. I mean, this is basketball. Like, yeah, he was talking shit to him. The guy that's been lights out all postseason, who was having a fine game. But it woke him up. I mean, it woke him in the sense that he demanded the ball that next possession and put his ass in the basket and got the and one. And then you're off and running where you're touching foreheads. So like, yes, but also no, no. You guys that play ball know when this shit happens. And there's some, you know, one-on-one action going because the trash talk starts up. And, you know, it's isolation time and everybody else get the hell out of the way. Come on. Come on. I know it's impossible to say if Grant Williams says nothing after he bangs home that three. Do the Celtics win? Or does anything change? I think things change. I do. I really do. Because that guy scored on him four straight times. Laughing at him. It was his fuel. And they even agreed after the game as much. I mean, it's the competitive juices are flowing and all that. And I know you're in the conference finals. You don't need that stuff. But some of these sickos like Jimmy Butler, who we always joke is like the son of Michael Jordan. Yeah, they do. So don't poke him. Just stay quiet. But Grant couldn't help himself. Batman, he had to say something. Oh, I loved it. I mean, everybody loved it. Unless you were a Celtics fan. I understand that. Coldest moments of the playoffs, though. We got a nice little list going. We got Steph Curry signaling to light the beam after eliminating the Kings in Game 7 in Sacramento when he scored 50. That's cold as shit. Jamal Murray the other night pointing at Mike Breen, calling his own bang after a massive step back three. And then this one, Jimmy Butler, just destroying Grant Williams and talking mad shit. Oh my God. Trey Kirby said we should add maybe LeBron scoring on Dylan Brooks there too after all that back and forth. Yeah, that's in play. What else are we missing? What have been the coldest moments of the playoffs so far? That screams YouTube short to me. Anyway, let's take a look here at the comments as I try and catch up. Everybody weighing in on the Simmons tweet. No Dunks, somebody from No Dunks, I'm guessing Trey. Jimmy has a mind stone under his headband. Touching it gives him more powers. Who is that? Is that Jerome? Is that Trey? Is that Tass? Who did that read more like? Man. Jimmy telling Drew, I own you. Good one, Rick. Yeah, someone did respond to my tweet about those cold moments. Someone saying like, look what he did to Drew that entire series. That's a good point. There's a lot of that. So what else on that list? The coldest moments of the playoffs so far. I hope we get some more. What a game. I'm glad I jumped on here to talk to you guys. Little weekend shift. Like I said, like the vid, subscribe, leave your boys a 5-star rating and review if you are a podcast listener. Oh, this is fun. Join us tomorrow for another EuroLeague watch party on Playback. We got the finals. Olympiacos versus Real Madrid. 1 p.m. Eastern. We're going to go live. That link is in the show notes right now. Join the No Dunks Playback room, and I then think you're alerted when we go live. But 1 p.m. is the final. The guys did a great job on Friday there for one of the semifinal games. So, yeah, we'll take that in tomorrow. True. Sicko shit. Watch parties for the EuroLeague action. We obviously got Game 3 tonight. Get your predictions in. Who's winning? Lakers Nuggets. Can LA get back in this thing? Can Jamal Murray stay hot? I'm excited about Jamal Murray in Los Angeles. I think he's going to have one massive game there. I don't know if it's tonight or game 4. I don't even know if it'll be enough for them to win. But I think it's going to happen. I am now off in a couple hours. Okay, it's a little earlier than I thought. I am going to see Fast X today. It's happening. Tickets purchased. Going with Nora. JD's coming, and I believe Trey. So all my Fast friends are going to be there watching Fast X for a little matinee. I think Trey's coming. I see somebody asking, is Trey's daughter okay? Yeah, he I guess that happened, right? During the EuroLeague watch party on Friday, he found out that his youngest daughter, they had thought had broken her arm. And I think in the end it was, it's not great. It's a fracture, I believe. So yeah, she's got it in the splint and all that, but she's okay. She's indestructible. This girl is fearless. Yeah. She's got that dog in him. She's got that dog in her. She's like Jimmy Butler. So yes, yeah, this is Trey here. She's sore, but she's healing. A fractured ulna for Ada. Okay, that's good to hear. Start of summer. Hate to see that. You know, the kid's got like one more week of school here in Atlanta. But she'll be okay. Good, 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 good. But I think TK's still coming. Let me know, Trey, if I'm going to see you at the movie theater. Hopefully for some Fast X. Guys, I'm going to call it there. Thanks again for joining me live for a little check-in, a little weekend shift. If you do like these, really encourage you to subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. And the numbers are going up, up, up. People are loving the short-form content. Jerome is killing it. We're also like clipping some of the segments from the show. We put all of those trade proposals that I threw at the guys on Friday's Drop podcast in terms of the Rockets and the Pistons and the Blazers moving their top five lottery picks, and we came up with some deals that maybe sound good, maybe don't. So those are all up on YouTube. And right after we posted the Blazers one, John Hollinger saying, yeah, that's happening. What did Hollinger say? Simons and the number three pick are going for an elite wing player. Is that what Hollinger said? I think so. Who is an elite wing player? What does that mean? Is it Jaylen Brown? Is it Paul George? Is OG Anunoby an elite wing player? What other names are there? Well, you tell me. Middleton, people are throwing out. Zach LaVine, is he a wing player? I guess he is, sort of. Sure. Find out soon enough, I guess. Hollinger says the whispers are loud at the, I guess it was at the Combine, right? Where everybody was there. Anyway, I'm babbling now, rambling now. So, let's go to Clipper, bro.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Absolutely love you guys. Thanks again. Hit the like button, subscribe, and who knows? Maybe we'll see you tomorrow morning if we get another epic conference finals game. We're 4-for-4. Don't want to jinx it. Knock on wood. But we're 4-for-4. Hope we get another banger tonight in LA. Until next time, though, guys. I was going to say the tribe has spoken. That's no buffs. Embrace the day.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.